Persians now mount an attack, and they come and they take over again in Bovel. The Persians not only attempt to take over in Bovel, they attempt to conquer Eretz Yisrael. The Jews make an alliance with the Persians to conquer Eretz Yisrael, to throw out the Byzantines, and to take Eretz Yisrael back as a Jewish country. And you hear again echoes of rebuilding the Beis Hamikdash, of reestablishing the Jewish presence in Jerusalem, etc. The king of the emperor of the Byzantine Empire during this period of time, the early 500s, is a man by the name of Justinian. And he was a very devout Christian, and he felt this war against the Persians was a holy war. From now on, the wars become holy wars. God save us from holy wars, all right? Just regular war. If you're fighting about money or about land or even about Helen of Troy, that's understandable. Could be worth it. But holy wars, God save us from that, because then there's no end, right? Then everything goes, there is, and everything you do is justified. And it's all the Shem Shemayim. It's all for the sake of God. And we'll see that Muhammad, when he comes, inherits that idea of a holy war. And he, in fact, develops it to its highest form. So Justinian is engaged in a holy war against the Persians. The Jews are the allies of the Persians. Not all the Jews, but Jews. And Jews in Israel especially are the allies of the Persians, because they feel that they'll gain their independence, they'll be able to drive out the Byzantine Empire. There are Jews who dream of rebuilding the Beis Hamikdash. When Justinian wins the war, as he does, so then the Jewish presence in Eretz Israel is almost ended. According to some records, less than 1,000 Jews were allowed to remain in the country. Eretz Yisrael is stripped of its Jewish population. All the synagogues are burned by the Christians. If you go into the northern Galilee, there are ruins of hundreds of synagogues. Most of those were destroyed, not from the Roman times, but from the Byzantine times. The Jewish communities are uprooted. And the Jews begin to, are forced to leave Israel in droves. They'll settle as far as North Africa already. And we find also a presence of Jews in Yugoslavia, what is today Yugoslavia, on the Adriatic, and Jews in Turkey, and Jews in Afghanistan, and Jews into what is today southern Russia, into the Caucasus. The Babylonian Talmud marks the end of that period. And it's as though God allowed the Jewish people to get it all down in writing before it's too late. Before they would not, because they would never again have such an opportunity. They would never again live in such an isolated vacuum, in an island of protection against the sea of world Christianity that surrounded them and world Islam that surrounded them, as they did during these years in Bovel. Now, for the next 50 years, from about the year 500 to about the year 550, a group of rabbis undertook the tedious work of proofreading and editing and correcting the texts of the Talmud. And those rabbis are called Rabbonon Savuroyim. Savuroyim. The explainers of the Talmud. And we have identified by later commentators certain famous passages in the Talmud that are from the Rabbonon Savuroyim, that were inserted in order to help us understand what the Talmud is doing, the beginning of Kiddushin, the beginning of Ksubis. There are a few places where it's obvious that the editor wrote it. It was written afterwards. The language of the Babylonian Talmud is the Aramaic dialect of Bovel. The Aramaic